Welcome to Flip the Script Wellness. I'm Heather Boggs, and today I want to talk about surrender. Surrendering is the act of letting go. And I guess this will be kind of a true confession type of episode because surrendering is something that I really struggle with. As I spend a lot of time contemplating the circumstances of my life and how I'm doing and assessing my wellness, etc., I often look to the things that are bringing me pain or discomfort. And one of the things that I've realized is how hard I try to control things that are out of my control. There are some aspects to my personality or identity that I really feel good about, things like being hardworking and dedicated and caring and responsible. But what happens when those characteristics push you to try to hold on in circumstances or control circumstances that you actually don't have control over? I mean, when it comes down to it, the only thing we really have control over is how we respond to things as they happen. And I think that's one of those things that we can know intellectually, but actually applying it in our life and learning to release and surrender and trust that the universe will guide you, protect you, and support you is more a matter of the heart or the spirit, you know, because it goes beyond just knowing something or understanding something. It comes down to trusting and believing in something. So I'll give you an example of something that I struggle with surrendering and trusting. For me, one of the things that I find super important to me is the happiness and well-being of my family. So intellectually, I know that I cannot control the happiness of others. But I think as a parent, I was accustomed over the years to try to provide opportunities for joy and happiness for my family, but also protect them from hurt and heartache and difficulties. And when our kids are younger, their bubble is smaller, and so there's less possibility of those outside forces causing stress, harm, discomfort, sadness, hurt. And now that they're older and they're adults and young adults, there's really not a lot I can do to insulate them from those experiences or have any control over how they react or respond to them. If I had to ask myself where this need to control others' happiness and well-being comes from, I think it's a result of how intensely I feel emotions when I witness suffering. And because watching people struggle or suffer hurts my heart, I just want to be able to help them avoid those experiences, even though I know intellectually that that's unrealistic because life happens and circumstances happen and tragedies happen and uncomfortable situations happen. And we can't protect and insulate one another from those things. But it's both the desire to protect them from those things, but also protect myself from bearing witness to them. So it's kind of compounded by my desire to protect myself. I have a strong faith in God, the divine, the universe, cosmic energy, whatever you want to call it. I believe in a greater power that is the embodiment of love and light and care and compassion and all that is good in the world, in the universe. So it must be that my fear is greater than my faith. And I don't want that to be the case, so I have to figure out how to let go and trust. So I suppose that fear is related to the attachment I have to specific outcomes or results, specifically when it comes to circumstances in my life or in the lives of my loved ones. I used to think that if you just loved hard enough, everything would be okay. And, you know, through the years and as a result of some hardships and maturing and gaining a greater perspective of the world and the circumstances that impact us all. I've come to realize that love, in its human form, is not enough to heal, cure, or prevent things from happening. And also, this belief in the idea that I know what the right outcome should be in these circumstances is a product of my ego. And it's pretty silly to think that I continuously and ultimately know what's best in each of these circumstances, because I can't possibly know what the divine plan is for things like that. And I am operating out of this time and this place and space and my own personal experience, which is void of a larger perspective. It's funny, there are common things that cause lots of people discomfort, and lots of people have difficulty in surrendering to the moment. Things like traffic or long lines or bad weather. Those things, surprisingly, don't bother me at all. I always feel that they are just putting me in the right time and place, whether it's because I had to wait an hour or I sat in traffic, that it just is how it is, and that doesn't bother me. So the irony about the discomfort we feel when we can't surrender or let go in a circumstance is that we're most likely trying to avoid pain or discomfort. And so you might be thinking, if you're stuck in traffic, it's going to feel really bad when I'm late and I see that that person is frustrated with me. That's going to make me feel bad. So instead, you make yourself feel bad the entire time that you're stuck in traffic. So you didn't actually prevent yourself the discomfort. You just chose to experience it possibly twice. Not only while you're sitting in the traffic, stressing out about how it's going to go when you finally get where you need to be, but also how they act when you arrive. And, you know, logically speaking, how they act when you arrive is completely out of your control. It could go poorly, it could go favorably, but all the worrying you did in the car is not going to change that outcome. So I mentioned earlier that my big area that's hard for me to surrender control in is taking care of my family. And one of the biggest gifts my husband ever gave me happened when my kids started going to middle school. Prior to that, I was the kind of mom who always wanted to make sure you had enough to eat for breakfast, that you had enough packed in your lunch for school, that you were dressed appropriately for the weather, or whether or not you had gym class that day. Did you have your instrument? Did you remember to put your homework in your backpack? It was that kind of checklist sort of mom that wanted to make sure you were properly set up for a successful day. Of course, my intentions were motivated out of the love I had for my kids, but if I were to look at it objectively, I was probably kind of an annoying mom. Who wants to deal with that yap, yap, yap checklist mentality first thing in the morning? But when they were little, they needed that support. But as they grew, I still had a tendency to be that way with them and kind of always want them to be prepared. When they started middle school, they actually asked if I could not come downstairs in the morning. They said they were tired in the morning, they liked it to be quiet, and they just didn't want to have to have that added stress of me going through the morning checklist. So I would make sure everybody was up, but then my husband would be downstairs, and he'd read a little, and they'd put some music videos on the TV, and everyone would kind of just get themselves ready. And at first it was hard for me. I wondered, you know, were they going to be cold? Were they going to be hungry? Did they forget anything? And if they did forget it, would they be embarrassed or get a bad grade? And it was hard. It was hard for me to surrender to those new circumstances and let it go. And when my husband would come back upstairs after they had left in the morning, I'd be like, how did the morning go? How was everybody? And I'd have questions. And I would say, you know, did everybody eat? And he'd be like, if they didn't eat, they'll be hungry, and if they're hungry, they'll eat more tomorrow. And he was right. in my effort to avoid pain and discomfort or embarrassment or unpreparedness for them, I was preventing them from having real-life learning experiences that would help them self-correct those things on their own. And over time, when nothing tragic happened and everyone was pretty happy with the way that we were doing things, I actually came to really enjoy the freedom that came with not needing to worry about all that stuff anymore. It was freeing, and that's what surrender is. It's freeing, it's liberating, it's letting go. And I want to learn how to find that more in the areas of my life that I'm still holding on to tightly. Right now, my fear of negative outcomes is stealing my joy. It's robbing me of feeling good now. And I know that that is not what I want my life to look like. And I need to intentionally work on ways to free myself from that. I think some of the discomfort we have all felt this past year is this sense of losing control over the circumstances of our everyday life. And the reality is, we never actually had control over it in the first place. But why this was so hard is that something like this had never happened in our lifetime, and it was a new thing that we couldn't control. So what's my plan for learning to surrender more? What's your plan if you're struggling with surrendering in areas of your life? Well, I think mindfulness is going to be a big part of it. It's noticing when I'm allowing my expectations of certain outcomes or results to impact my ability to be in the moment and enjoy the process. It's asking myself what my motivations are. Why am I doing the things that I'm doing in my life? What am I hoping to feel as a result of them? And when am I trying to control an outcome that really isn't mine to control? I think meditation, kind of enhancing my meditation practice and setting the intention of developing trust with the divine and asking divine guidance in reducing my fears. And I think I need to, you know, kind of stay in my own lane a little more and recognize what things are mine and what things aren't. And trust that what is meant for me will find me, and what is not meant for me won't. The concept of surrender or detachment is not new to me. It's something I learned a lot about 12 years ago when I did yoga teacher training. It's something I've frequently read about by authors that I trust and inspire me. But I was drawn back to this concept because I believe I was divinely guided to return to this concept as a way to free myself from stress and anxiety that I'm feeling pretty regularly. And in the same way that you can journal about things that you're grateful for, you can also journal about the things you want to let go of. And you can use a writing prompt as a means of release and of letting go. So recording this episode helped me to kind of clarify my goal of surrender and letting go. And it helped to make me accountable to myself and to my well-being. And I think that's helpful for me. Accountability is something that I value. And, you know, now I've said it out loud and put it in the universe. And so the likelihood of me following through for myself is greater. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to use you as an accountability buddy. I appreciate that. I'm going to start by releasing the expectation that I get this right quickly. I am going to let go of the idea that if I work hard enough on surrendering, then everything will be good, because that's not how surrender works. And I need to allow myself the freedom to let this process play out as it's meant to. in the time frame of the divine, not in my time frame. We all want things to happen when we want them to happen, but that isn't how it works. And that's what that attachment to results and outcomes looks like. And so I need to start by not setting any expectations for outcomes in this practice of surrender and allowing it to unfold as it should. Thanks again for listening. If you want to reach out, you can find me at flipthescriptwellness.com on my website or on Instagram at flipthescriptwellness. I'd like to thank the musical group Slancha for the introduction music. And I hope that you're able to surrender and let go of things that you're holding on to too tightly. Take care.